Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. You're listening to the Qalam podcast. Qalam is an organization that is dedicated to making Islamic knowledge accessible to everyone. Alhamdulillah, Qalam has been able to serve so many people all across the world in so many ways. And now, Qalam has the opportunity and the ability to take its work to the next level. Qalam now has the ability to expand its offerings to people all across the world in so many different ways. Qalam is acquiring a campus, a home, where we can continue to do the work that we do and in fact increase what we do. But we need your help, we need your support to make that dream a reality. Go to QalamCampus.com and donate generously. Every single person listening to this podcast, benefiting from Qalam, I need you to go there and donate and share that link far and wide. And let's all of us come together, invest into our sadaqah jariyah, and take this work to the next level. Jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Now enjoy the podcast.
Okay. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most kind, the most merciful. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wassalatu wassalam ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. The best of prayers and blessings be upon our Prophet Muhammad. Peace and blessings be upon him. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept our coming together to learn his religion, to cleanse our hearts, inshaAllah ta'ala. اللهم إنا نسألك حبك وحب من يحبك وحب عمل يقربنا إلى حبك. Oh Allah, we ask for your love. We ask for the actions that will gain your love. And we ask for the love of those who love you. Ya أرحم الراحمين. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So this is our fourth class. This is our fourth class on the letter to those seeking guidance by Imam Muhasibi rahimahullah ta'ala. And it's been a very beautiful class because the Imam is giving us small gems of knowledge which have a lot of elaboration, which allows us to contextualize them for our own lives, right? But it's beautiful because of the knowledge that's there. It's really beautiful. So last week, we left off where Imam Muhasibi rahimahullah ta'ala, he says these words, Bismillah, in the name of Allah. He says, وَحَاسِبْ نَفْسَكَ فِي كُلِّ خَطَرَ. He said, and take yourself to account in every thought that you have. So in our last class, class three, we went into some depth about the Islamic importance of controlling thoughts. Being in control of your thoughts and not letting the thoughts just take you wherever they want to take you, but rather you being really, really in control of where your mind is at any given time. So we went into that in detail. And the next line is وَرَاقِبِ اللَّهِ. So this we didn't do last week. This is new. وَرَاقِبِ اللَّهَ فِي كُلِّ نَفَسِ. وَرَاقِبِ اللَّهَ. He says, and be regardful of God. Raqib, when you raqib, in Arabic, the word raqaba, R-Q-B, raqaba, it means to watch something very closely. Right? It means to look at something really, really closely. And so he says, وَرَاقِبِ اللَّهَ فِي كُلِّ نَفَسٍ. And keep an eye on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala فِي كُلِّ نَفَسٍ. In every nafas. The word nafas means every breath. And so what he's reminding us at this point is that if we want to reach the levels of taqwa or consciousness of Allah, that it's not just once in a day, you know, every now and then that we're remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we get to this point where you ever see like your grandmother just in the house and she's just like, Ya Allah. You feel me? Like, I can't say it for my grandmother, you know, I never like witnessed that, but y'all know what I'm talking about. You feel me, right? Absolutely. So they're just like, they're just breathing dhikr. You feel me? That's a waliya, man. She's a wali of Allah. That's what it means. Raqib Allah fi kulli nafas. In every breath, like just as we breathe, the consciousness is there with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, wa raqib Allah fi kulli nafas. And then he brings a statement of Umar bin Khattab, the second Khalifa. Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, and this is a well-known statement of Umar ibn Khattab. He said, "Hasibu anfusakum qabla an tuhasabu, wazinuha qabla an tuzanu, wazayyanu lil ardi al akbar yawma la takhfa minkum khafiya." This is a beautiful, well-known statement of Umar ibn Khattab. He says, "Hasibu anfusakum qabla an tuhasabu." Take yourselves to account, judge yourselves, do yourself accounting, qabla an tuhasabu, before you are taken to account. Hasabu anfusakum qabla an tuhasabu. So let me talk about this for a moment. So Imam Ghazali, and I want you to take good notes on this. Imam Ghazali says, when it comes to your own spiritual development and behavioral modification, there are a few things you have to do regular. He says, in the morning time, you have to do what's called musharata, or conditioning, placing conditions on yourself. From the word shart, or condition, musharata. So it's like an agreement with yourself. It's an agreement. So you know what? I say to myself, Mikayo, if you want to have that, you know, freshly ground roasted coffee in the morning, Makari knows what I'm talking about, then you have to make sure you do your wird before that. This is a condition. I'm waking up. This is a condition set on myself. Oh, Mikayo, why do we got to be so like, because I won't get things done if I don't set those conditions. Whether it be economically, whether it be educationally, or whether it be spiritually, we're setting conditions for the self. So Imam Ghazali says, in the morning time, the very first thing you're doing is musharata, these conditions for myself. Like, I have to do these things. And if I do these things, then so be it, we can move forward. The second thing is what Imam Ghazali calls muraqaba. Now I set the conditions in the morning of where I want to be spiritually, but now I gotta keep a good eye on myself. I gotta watch myself now. And this is called muraqaba. So throughout the day, I'm checking myself, like, what am I doing? Did I do this? How many, you know, y'all know when, you ever been counting calories? Anyone? Right, I ain't gonna look around. People are like, why are you looking at me? Just saying, yo. Yes, and you know what I'm saying? You ever been counting calories? No. He's good, right? Well, you set the conditions, like I need like 2,000 calories today, that's it, right? And you set your conditions, like if I eat this, I can have this. But then throughout the day, you're literally like watching yourself, right? You're watching. That's called muraqaba throughout the day, right? Those people are really like annoying to be around. Like you wanna bite, they're like, oh, how many calories in one bite? You're like, I don't know, man. So muraqaba is number two. Then Imam Ghazali says the third thing, at the end of the day, and this is where we get to the main thing. At the end of the day, what Imam Ghazali calls muhasaba. This is a very, very important part of spiritual development. Muhasaba is when now you take yourself to account at the end of the day for everything that you were doing throughout that day. Muhasaba is a very key part of spiritual development. And so Umar ibn Khattab, Umar radiallahu anh, his statement is, Hasabu anfusakum. Take yourself to account qabla an tuhasabu. So here's the deal. Here's the way you should think of it. Umar ibn Khattab is saying, your muhasaba is going to happen whether you like it or not. You're going to be taken to account whether you like it or not. It's just about when you do it. So Umar radiallahu anh is saying, if you do it now, then the muhasaba is so much easier later. You ever been doing taxes at the end trying to get all the receipts, yo? Like, dang, man, I should have did this earlier. Exact same thing. So what is it? It's muhasaba. So I want to share some statements on muhasaba. Hasan al-Basri, he says, I'm taking these statements because I want you to see. Oh, hold on. How many things did I give for self-development? What was the first one? Musharata, set conditions. Number two was muraqaba, watch yourself after you set the conditions. Number three was at the end of the day, what? Muhasaba. You know what number four is? And if you think about classical conditioning from a behavioral, psychological behavioral perspective, he calls it muaqaba. What does muaqaba mean? Punishment. And what that means is like, oh, dang, your religion is so strict, dang, yo. No, it's like I didn't reach the goals that I wanted to reach spiritually, so now I have to set some consequences to myself. And what's amazing is Imam Ghazali teaches this centuries before, what's it, Pavlov? Is it Pavlov? Centuries before Pavlov comes across with behavioral conditioning, negative reinforcement, positive reinforcement, and all those things. So he goes, at the end of the day, when you do muhasaba, this is brilliant stuff. The brilliance is that our Islamic scholars understood that if you want to better yourself tomorrow, there's a procedure that you have to hold yourself accountable to. So after muhasaba is done, the last one is called mu'aqaba, and mu'aqaba simply means now we're... You know what mu'aqaba means? It means punish, but here's the deal. When you do your muhasaba and you see you actually did what you were supposed to do, let's say you did stay under 2,000 calories. I'm just giving an example, right? So what should be the response to that? What would be the response to actually meeting the goals that you met? Hamd. He says hamd. So whatever, so as you assess yourself, you're like, alhamdulillah, I got all my five prayers in. Alhamdulillah, ya Allah. Alhamdulillah. So thanking Allah. So what it means is as you go through your muhasaba, the reaction for each like checklist item is going to be slightly different. It's going to be slightly different for each thing. There's some things where I'm going to be like, alhamdulillah. And there's other things where I'm going to be like, astaghfirullah. Astaghfirullah. And there's other things where I'm going to have to make up. You get to the end of the day, you're like, I missed a fard prayer. You're like, oh, I can't just go to sleep. Let me make this up. Let me pay this debt back, right? So these are the four stages. Now, I want to share some statements on how the early generation saw this concept of muhasaba. Now, remember, muhasaba only works when you understand all four parts of this behavioral modification in Islamic studies. Like, you have to understand all of them. Muhasaba is only one aspect of that. But here's a few statements of the early generation, just so you could see the emphasis placed on this concept of checking yourself, you know? Check yourself. إِنَّ الْمُؤْمِنْ قَوَّامٌ عَلَى نَفْسِي Hassan Basri, he says, that the believer has to be vigilant, always watching themselves. يُحَاسَبُ نَفْسَهُ لِلَّهِ Taking themselves to account for the sake of God. وَإِنَّمَا خَفَّ الْحِسَابِ This is the key. وَإِنَّمَا خَفَّ الْحِسَابِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ عَلَى قَوْمٍ حَاسَبُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ Indeed, this is the key. It's either now or later. He says, indeed, it will be easy. Hisab will be easy on Yawm al-Qiyamah for the one who does this regularly. I'm going to say this one more time. Hisab will be easy, extremely easy for who? The one who does this regularly, regularly, regularly throughout their lives. Yawm al-Qiyamah. عَلَىٰ قَوْمٍ حَاسَبُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَإِنَّمَا شَقَّ الْحِسَابِ And indeed, the reckoning will be very difficult on the Day of Judgment on those who just let their lives go and didn't take time to pause, reflect, and assess what's going on in my life, what am I doing? Beautiful advice. I'm gonna share one more. Ibn Arabi rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, now this is going to be very practical. He gives a very practical approach to muhasaba. And this is Ibn Arabi radiallahu anhu. He says this, كان أشياخنا Indeed, our teachers, يُحَاسَبُونَ أَنفُسَهُمْ They used to take account عَلَى مَا يَتَكَلَّمُونَ بِهِ وَمَا يَفْعَلُونَ They used to be very cognizant of what they were speaking and what they were doing. وَيُقَيِّدُونَهُ فِي دَفْتَرٍ دَفْتَر They used to write it down in a journal. Oh, Sheikh's talking about journaling, getting all... girlish on us now. Yo, journaling, I think it's so profound that Ibn Arabi is talking, I know it's like, Shay, Mubarak, you got a journal, bro? Huh? For real? Or are you just saying that because wifey's over there? No, so this is interesting, subhanAllah. He says that Ibn Arabi says that our teachers, they used to journal what they spoke about and what they did throughout the day. They used to journal and keep, that's really interesting. Because it's we live our day, and if I said to you, like, at the end of the day, just kind of, like, assess your day, you're like, man, I don't even know what I did today. Like, for real, like, what did you eat for lunch, bro? Oh, you remember, dang, all right. Some of us, like, bro, I don't even remember what I had for breakfast. You know what I'm saying? So if I tell you at the end of the day to now assess your whole day, you're like, here we go. No, he says that the mashayikh, what they used to do at his time is that they would write down in journal the things that they spoke about and the things that they did. They noted those, they journaled them. And here's another thing. I think there's a very therapeutic aspect to just writing it down. I can't remember which book it was I was reading. And now all y'all know what that means. My wifey exposed something to my students, female students, but hey, it's all good. I was reading something. I think it was Malcolm Gladwell. I think he's the one that said this. It may not be him. He talked about there was a point in the Civil War where one of the generals under, if there's a history buff in here, you could correct me. One of the generals under Abraham Lincoln could have ended the Civil War with a really decisive move. But he slacked and he didn't make the move, and the war dragged on because of that. It dragged on for some time, considerable after that. I mean, lives were lost. Now, Abraham Lincoln, he was extremely upset with that man over it, the general that's under him, extremely upset. And he wrote this letter that was just berating him. I'm talking, he roasted the man in the letter. Roasted. And these were writers, you know what I mean? That beautiful penmanship too. You know what I mean? It's that beautiful roast. Like, dang, let me just save this. This is just the penmanship is amazing. So he wrote this crazy letter just berating this man. And then guess what? He never sent it. He never sent it. Sometimes you got to type that email out to your supervisor and just leave it in draft. Just leave it in draft. That's it. It's done. It's off my chest. I got it off. You hit that sin, you done, yo. Sure, I lost my job, whatever. That's your fault. I didn't say send it. I said draft it, man. Just draft. Write it out. The process of writing is very therapeutic. A lot of people, like, sorry to digress, but some people ask me, like, why do you like to write? I'm working on my next book now. People are like, why do you like to write? I'm like, because through writing, I learn things. For real, through writing, you ever have a paper due, and then when you did it, you're like, dang, I'm smart, yo. For, you know what I'm saying? You sit down, and you're like, I don't know what I'm going to talk about. You start typing, you're like, oh, I'm a genius. Because writing itself is you learn so much through writing. And so therapeutically, I think what's important is take time at the end of the day, and it's like, what did I do throughout my day? What did I do throughout my day? So what does he say here? He says, Ibn Arabi, he says, كَانَ أَشْيَاخُنَا يُحَاسَبُونَ أَنفُسَهُمْ عَلَى مَا يَتَكَلَّمُونَ بِهِ وَمَا يَفْعَلُونَ وَيُقَيِّدُونَهُ فِي دَفْتَرٍ. They would take themselves to account for what they spoke and what they did, and they would write it down in a journal. فَإِذَا كَانَ بَعْدَ الْعِشَى. It's still going, listen. فَإِذَا كَانَ بَعْدَ الْعِشَى. When it came time after Isha, the last prayer of the day. حَاسَبُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ. Now they would take themselves to account. And what would they do? وَأَحْذَرُوا دَفْتَرَهُمْ. They would bring forward their journal that they've been keeping all day. They would bring forward the journal and look at it. وَنَذَرُوا فِي مَا صَدَرَ مِنْهُمْ مِنْ قَوْلٍ وَعَمَلٍ. And they would look at whatever actions they did from speech and from action. What did they do? وَقَابِلُوا كُلًّا بِمَا يَسْتَحِقُّ. And they would do what was necessary for what was in that, what actions were there. So what did I say before? Like sometimes you see something and you're like, Alhamdulillah. But sometimes you see something and you're like, Astaghfirullah. Astaghfirullah. Why did I do that? So قَابَلُوهَا بِمَا يَسْتَحَقَّ. It means whatever the action needs. If you did good, you're like, Alhamdulillah. And that's important. It's important to recognize when you do good. You know how you make those checklists, and you know the feeling, the dopamine release when you check something off the list? No? No, for real. Like you have a list, and you put those boxes, and you check one, you're like, Alhamdulillah. So it's important, actually, to go back and see the things you actually did. You got your five prayers in, you're like, check, Alhamdulillah. That's what's up, Alhamdulillah. And then the hadith, the wala in shakartum, the Quran, wala in shakartum, la zidannakum. So number one is istahaqqa. And then there are certain things that obviously we'd have to seek refuge, seek forgiveness for. And then there's other things which we have to like pay back that debt. Right? If you missed a prayer, it's like, all right, let me knock that out right now. Right? Okay. In istahaqqa istighfaran istaghfaru. If they needed to do istighfar, they would do istighfar. If they needed to seek forgiveness, they would seek forgiveness. Awit tawbah. If they needed to do tawbah, they would seek repentance, they would repent. Aw shakaran shakaru. If they needed to ask for thank Allah, they would do that. Thumma yanamuna. Then they would go to sleep. Fazidna. So Ibn Arabi says this is what our teachers used to do, right? Look what he says next. Fazidna alayhim fi hadha al-bab. But when we became like teachers, what we did, we increased upon what our teachers used to do. Al-khawatir, our thoughts. Fakunna nuqayyid ma nuhaddith bihi nufusana. We would write down the thoughts that came to our minds. Remember last week we talked about it. So if something came to my mind, they're writing that down. Why? I want to know where this thought came from. I want to look deeper at this thought. I want to understand the ideology of this thought. Where did it come from? So even the thoughts, they're going to write those down. Like, yo, I was thinking about this. Why was I thinking about this? This is heavy stuff, but it's beautiful. It's beautiful, mashallah. So he says, وَنُحَاسِبُهَا عَلَيْهِ. And so then we would take ourselves to account to that. So Umar ibn Khattab, let's go back to the statement of Umar ibn Khattab. What does he say? Hasibu anfusakum qabla an tuhasabu. Take yourself to account before you are taken to account. Wazinuha. This is still the statement of Umar ibn Khattab. Wazinuha. And weigh yourself. Now, he's not talking about weigh yourself. He's talking about the quantitative value of your actions. Wazinuha. Check your actions. Qualitative. How good are they? Is there sincerity in those actions? Wazinuha, weigh them. You know, many scholars mention that on the Day of Judgment, deeds are weighed, right? Because it's about the level of sincerity that makes the deed heavier. So wazinuha qabla an tuzanu. And weigh your deeds, weigh your actions before they're weighed. Weigh your actions. So now what are we looking at? The first step we were looking at, what was I doing? The second step that Umar ibn Khattab mentions is that we're now looking at the qualitative value of those actions. This is brilliant stuff here. Brilliant stuff. Now, here's the last thing. وَتَزَيَّنُوا وَتَزَيَّنُوا لِلْعَرَضِ الْأَكْبَرِ. This is beautiful eloquence of Umar. He says, and تَزَيَّنُوا, beautify. تَزَيَّن from the word zina. The word zina means to make something beautiful or to be beautiful, right? And so Umar ibn Khattab, he says, وَزَيَّنُوا, beautify yourself, لِلْعَرْضِ, for the day that you will be presented. The day that you know, sometimes your weddings, man, yo, y'all be tripping on weddings, man. Like 4 days prep, yo. 4 days. I'm ready in like 20 minutes, man. 4 days prep, mashallah. That, why? Because there's arad coming. What does arad mean? Arad is when you're going to be in front of everyone. Arad is when you're going to be in front of everyone. That's what arad means. And so what he's telling us is start to, you know, depending on where you're going, you beautify yourself in a little different way. You know, Eid, your drip is a little different than on another day. You feel me? So he's saying, now actually start to prepare yourself. Zayyanu, start to prepare yourself for what? The day that you're actually standing al-aradul akbar, the actual major presentation before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and before the creation. Zayyanuha. Like, start getting ready. Start beautifying yourself. Start getting what's necessary for that day that's coming. Zayyanuha. Lil-ardil akbar. Beautify it. Now, the hadith tell us, this is really deep. What is arad? I said it means to be like presented before something. The hadith tell us that there are actually three aradat on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Three aradat on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Now, I think it's important for us to picture these things. I was taking notes on this, and I read something that was really beautiful, where One of the scholars, he mentioned, let me narrate a few hadith for you. Abu Huraira, he narrates that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Inna arwahakum tu'aradu." Indeed, your souls will be presented when one of you dies. You'll be presented in front of all of your family members who have died before you. Be presented right there. So this person has just passed away, and everyone from your family that passed before you, they're all waiting, and you're presented before them. فَيَقُولُ بَعْضُهُمْ لِبَعْضٍ. They will say to one another, everyone's happy to see you. It's been a long time. دَعُوهُ يَسْتَرِحْ. Some of them are like, leave him alone, he has to rest. Leave him alone, let him rest. He just came from a journey, let him rest. فَإِنُّهُ كَانَ فِي كَرَبْ. He was in a difficult time, it was tough over there. ثُمَّ يَسْأَلُونَ. But you know how people are, you know, someone says rest, but the other cousins and uncles ask you questions. So ثُمَّ يَسْأَلُونَ. So then they'll start asking him questions. مَا عَمِلَ فُلَانَ. What happened to your cousin? How's he doing? How's she doing? هَلْ تَزَوَّجَتْ فُلَانَ. Did such and such get married? SubhanAllah, the people who passed away are still asking, did you get married, yo? Dang, you were bothering me in the dunya about marriage, and now you're passed away. The first thing that happens when you pass away, this is a hadith of Rasul Sallallahu. The Prophet Sallallahu, he said that they will ask you, hal tazawwaja fulana? Did your nephew, niece get married yet? SubhanAllah. We don't change, do we? Allahu Akbar. فَإِنْ ذَكَرَ وَمَا عَمِلَتْ فُلَانَ. What happened to fulana? فَإِنْ ذَكَرَ خَيْرًا. If you say, oh no, they're good. You know, they were righteous, they were praying, they were doing their sadaqah. If you say these things, ذَكَرَ خَيْرًا حَمِدُ اللَّهَ. They're like, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. وَإِنْ كَانَ شَرًّا. But if you're like, oh no, man. You know, she kind of like, you know, went off the track, whatever. اللهم اغفر له. اللهم اغفر له. ثم فيسألون عن رجل مات. Now this is scary. فيسألون عن رجل مات قبل. They will ask this person about someone who actually passed away before this person, right? فيسألون فيقول ذاك مات قبل. عجيب. That person will go, no, you mean Ahmed? Oh, he passed away before me. أَمَا مَرَّ بِكُمْ. Didn't y'all see him? فَيَقُولُونَ لَا وَاللَّهِ. Everyone's silent, quiet. And they'll all be like, إِنَّ لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّ إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. Like they know it, you get it, right? They're like, we didn't see him. That means he went the other way. This is the reason I've mentioned this hadith is the arad, like the presentation before the family. Rasul Sallallahu, he said there'll be three aradat on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Three aradat on Yawm al-Qiyamah. These are three times when people are presented. The first arad, the Prophet Sallallahu called it jidad, the presentation of arguments. And the Rasul Sallallahu explained that this will be those who think that they can argue their way out of what's going down on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Allah will present them. Okay, all of y'all come forward. And they'll give their arguments, this, you know, whatever arguments they have for why they live their life that way. And the hadith says that they will be taken and thrown into the hellfire. Na'udhu billah. The second arad. The second arad are the al-mu'adharin. The ones who are presenting excuses. They will say, well, we have an excuse for why we acted the way we acted. The third arad is the one that we read about. وَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوتِيَ كِتَابَهُ بِيَمِينِ. The third arad, the Prophet ﷺ, he said, is the arad where you will be presented and it will be said, اقرأ كتابك, read your book. Your book will either go into your right hand or your book will go into your left hand. And at that time, if a person was given their book in their right hand, it's just like graduation day. You know how people be graduation day? I mean, people from my culture, we show you we graduate. You know we graduated. You know what I mean? All right, some of y'all don't know what I'm talking about. Cool, it's all good. Graduation day, ha umuqra'u kitabiya. Look at my book, look at my diploma, look what I did. I made it, pops. I did it, I passed. The person's given the book in the right hand, they turn around and they look at all of their family happy. And they say, "Umukra'u kitabia, read my book, look. I knew today was coming. I knew it was coming." And the Quran says, "No, there's other people. Amma man utiya kitabu bishimali. Didn't pass. Didn't prepare. Didn't expect. Didn't get ready for Yawm al-Arab, graduation day." And we know what the Quran says about that. So Umar ibn Khattab, let's go back to his statement. He says, "Wazayyanu lil-arad," beautify yourself. Do what you need to do to beautify yourself for what? The day that you are presented in front of everyone. Wallahi, I read something from a scholar preparing for today's class. I read something from a scholar. He said, I imagine myself amongst the people of Jannah, enjoying Jannah, and then I imagine myself in Jahannam amongst the people of Jahannam. And if you think why, it's to make that reality real for you. Like right now, just for a moment, take your attention away from me, and I want all of you to imagine yourself, Yawm al-Qiyamah, on the Day of Judgment. You're in front of all of creation. Close your eyes if you have to, but picture this. In front of all of creation, millions of people to your left, millions of people to your right, as far as you can see forward, millions of people, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a way that you can never imagine is before you. You're standing there, and your name is called. Mika'il, son of Fulan, son of Fulan, son of Fulan. And for some reason, even though there's millions of Mika'ils, you know it's you. And you come forward in front of everyone. And now all of a sudden, everyone is looking at you. Everyone is looking at you now. Every single person. Your grandmother, your grandfather, your cousins, your uncles, your mother, your father, your children. Looking at you. And now you're standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, here's the point. تُعْرَضُ حَيَاتَكَ سَاعَةً سَاعَةً. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now in front of everyone, as if it's like a big screen, shows your entire life. You're watching third person. You're watching yourself. Every moment of your life being shown. Every moment. All of creation around you watching. How will that feel? Picture that. On the other hand, the Prophet ﷺ said that there will be some people who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will call close, and they'll be in a satr, but behind a hijab. And Allah will mention what they did to them between one-on-one. Do you remember you did this? Do you remember this? Do you remember this? And this person will go, yes. Quietly, no one sees. And Allah will say, I covered it in the dunya, I'll cover it in the akhirah too. Go ahead, you're forgiven. That's why they say, don't open up your bad deeds, yo. Don't open up your, you do something wrong, keep it hidden. Hide it. So that inshallah, you'll be of those deeds where Allah says, come close. Psst, yo, you remember this, yo. Yeah, I remember. It ain't there. Don't worry. I covered it in the dunya. I'm not going to expose it in the world, in the akhirah. Rabbuna Kareem, yo. Rabbuna Kareem, man. Rabbuna Kareem, our Lord is generous, man. Our Lord is generous, Asad. The Prophet ﷺ, he saw there was a battlefield, and like people had got all like moved apart and stuff, and there was a woman who clearly was suckling a child, and she couldn't find her baby, and she's running around looking for this child. And she finally sees her baby, and she lifts up the baby and puts the baby to her. The Prophet ﷺ is looking at this. He calls the Sahaba. He says, you think this baby, this mother will ever throw this baby in the fire? They're like, no. How? He says, Allah has more mercy than this mother for you than this mother has for the child. Rabbuna Kareem. Rabbuna Kareem. May Allah forgive us. So let's go forward. يَوْمَ لَا تَخْفَى مِنْكُمْ خَافِيَةً. Beautify yourself for the day which no secrets will be hidden. Everything will be made clear on that day. وَخَفِ اللَّهَ فِي دِينِكْ. وَخِفِ اللَّهَ فِي دِينِكْ. Fear Allah regarding your religion. There are so many things to worry about in life. Am I going to have money for the mortgage? Am I going to have money for this? Am I going to get into this school? Is this going to happen? Who is, how's my husband or wife going to be? There's so many things to worry about. He says, khifillah fi dinik. Primary worry is your deen. Primary worry are your sins. Warjuhu fi jami'i umurik. And with everything you do, hope from Allah. Hope from Allah. Like I mentioned this before, we often have expectations for much of the creation. Expectations to Allah. Rabbuna Kareem. I hope from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wasbir ala ma asabak. And then guess what? Life is not going to be easy. I promise you that. I promise you. I wish I learned this in high school. I wish I learned this when I was 14, 15. Life ain't easy. It's gonna be hard. So what does it need? Wasbir ala ma asabak. Have patience. How do you have patience? Listen to what he says. Sheikh Abdul Fattah Abu Ghudda, he says, فَكُلُّ شَيْءٍ أَجَلٍ فَلِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ أَجَلٍ. Everything has a time. So here's the deal. The way we get through the difficulties is remembering that everything has a set time. It's going to pass. Has a set time. It's going to pass. That's the way we get through the... You know, subhanAllah... كُلُّ مَا هُوَ آتٍ قَرِيبٍ. Everything coming is close. So if a person keeps in mind that this will pass, it makes the difficulty easier to handle. وَاسْبِرْ عَلَى مَا أَصَابَكَ. I'm not going to go too deep into sabr though, because he actually goes a lot deeper into sabr in a few pages. Patience. There's three types of sabr. All right, let's do it. There's three types of sabr. You got to know this. This is important. The word sabr, I've told you this before in other halaqas, sabr and patience is just the old school translation. The word patience doesn't fit sabr properly when you truly understand it. Right? Okay. Here are the three types of sabr. Number one is like real patience. Sabr ala masa'ib. Sabr, patience on difficulties. Composure during difficulties. The ability to hold yourself during a hardship. That's number one. Number two, sabr ala ta'a. See, this is where the word patience doesn't fit. Patience on good deeds. Like you started a good deed and you keep doing it, keep doing it, keep doing it. You get tired. No, you keep going, you keep going. Sabr ala ta'a. The ability to hold yourself and keep doing it. And the third type of sabr, sabr anil ma'asi. Patience, the ability to hold yourself from sin. Something you like is there, the nafs is pulling. The nafs is pulling hard. What do? It's that self-control that comes in at that moment. It's that you have to build that composure, that self-control, that sabr. Because what happens is the first hit of the nafs is very hard. That's why they say, وَمَنْ يَتَصَبِّرْ يُصَبِّرْهُ اللَّهُ. Fake it till you make it. If you aren't patient, pretend to be patient, it will make patience. If you aren't patient, just pretend to be patient. And it will actually create patience within you. It's a beautiful thing. Okay, let's keep going. Qala Ali. Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, he says, La takhaf illa dhanbak. Don't fear anything except your sins. Stop being afraid of anything except your sins. That's the primary thing I'm worried about. Now, what's the psychological function of that? Here's the deal. There are so many things, as I said, that can bring me fear and worry. But what I'm doing is I'm elevating myself above that by saying, you know what? My primary concern are my sins and my relationship with Allah. And everything else will come in line. There's a hadith that says that. So primary worry, لا تخف إلا ذنبك ولا ترجو إلا ربك. Ali radiallahu anhu, he says, do not fear anything except your sins, and do not hope in anything except your Lord. So we talked about hope before as well, expectations. All of our hope is from Rabbuna al-Kareem. Last thing, inshallah. وَلَا يَسْتَحْيِ. He switches the topic. Switches the topic up. وَلَا يَسْتَحْيِ. Do not be shy. وَلَا يَسْتَحْيِ الَّذِي لَا يَعْلَمْ أَنْ يَسْأَلْ حَتَّى يَعْلَمْ. And the person who doesn't know something, let them not be shy from asking those who know. So, you know, a lot of people question or wonder why converts, mashallah, someone converts to Islam, and all of a sudden, like 3 months later, they like three juz memorized, and like they know all these terms, muraqabah, muhasabah, da, da, da. They're like, dang, yo, sister, what happened? And one of the things is, when a person accepts Islam, they know nothing. Yeah, nothing. They know they're like, I'm ignorant. I don't have any knowledge. And so what that creates is this thirst. Every person they interact with is now a means of education, a means of uplifting me, a means of educating me. And that's where the growth happens. And so the idea is, when you don't know, just la adri, I don't know. And don't be shy from learning. The scholars, they say this is very important. There are two people who never learn. I want you to try to guess this. Obviously one, what is it? Yeah, Allahu Akbar, two people that never learn. The shy person will never learn. Never learn, because you don't ask the questions. You gotta ask. And the other one, the arrogant. Arrogant, you can't learn because you think you know. You think you know, you think your Google search is equal to my like 7 years of studies. Every field, it's for every field, it ain't just for shuyukh. Duke walks in the doctor's office, right? And they come telling you the diagnosis. Right, Lima? Like, they walk in like, so I looked it up. You just gotta prescribe the medicine. Like, you know, chill, yo. Your Google search is not equal to my knowledge. It's a major problem we have, right? So, if you don't know, you don't know. وَلَا يَسْتَحْيِ, don't be shy. لِلَّذِي لَا يَعْلَمُ, the one who doesn't know, let them not be shy from asking until they have knowledge. Seek knowledge. And this is an important part, you know, and this is why we need institutions like Qalam Institute that are educating people and providing facilities so that we can increase our knowledge, inshallah ta'ala. You know, there are many different institutes around the country, but, you know, alhamdulillah, if you don't know, man, you got to enroll, inshallah, yo. Shameless plug, yo. But we need your du'as, yo, seriously. QalamCampus.com. Yeah, QalamCampus.com. We need your support, seriously, man. Critical time. وَلَا يَسْتَحْيِ. So the first one is, don't be shy from learning. And so let me say something. I'm going to be really frank with you. When I first accepted Islam, by the grace of God, there's literally nothing I did. Within like the first 3 months, I was sitting in a hifz class. Okay? First 3 months, I'm sitting in this hifz class full time. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen a hifz class, but there are like children from like ages 7 to like 14. And I'm like 19 years old, sitting next to this like 7-year-old. It was the most humbling experience of my life. Humbling. And the teacher would give me my qaida, and he would be like, go to that kid right there, he'll teach you the next line. And wallahi, the kid was 8 years old. And the kid thinks he's a G, like, yeah. Read. Read. I'm like, this little dude. It's like 8 years old, but he knows what I don't know. So I'm sitting there like, Elif? He's like, Ba? And I say it right, but he's like, no, Ba. Ba. I'm like, yo, I just said that, man. He's like, shh. No, it was so humbling. It was like, yo, I'm literally sitting down with these 9, 10, 11-year-olds. I'm a grown man. I'm going back to my wife, and she's like, what are you doing there? I'm like, I don't know. I'm just, subhanAllah. But you got to humble yourself for knowledge. If you don't know, seek out the knowledge, man. You know where you can really see this? When you try to learn another language. When you try to learn, like, Arabic, and people are, like messing with you. You say, inni uridu shay, they're like, sadaqallahu al-azim. You know what I mean? Like, it's really humbling to speak another language. Because even the little kids correct you. They're like, no, no, no. It's really humbling. Allahu Akbar. So humble yourself, man. The path of knowledge is beautiful just if it humbles you, man. Just if it humbles you. One of the things we deal with a lot nowadays is the culture of students now is a capitalist. I'm sorry to digress. But education has become purely capitalistic, right? And so nowadays students come like it's McDonald's. You're away right away. They expect it the way they want it. But that wasn't how we sought knowledge. That wasn't how we sought knowledge. The entitlement. So just a little thing. And then let's go to the next thing. وَلَا يَسْتَحْيِ أَنْ يُسْأَلْ عَمَّا لَا يَعْلَمْ عَمَّنْ لَا يَعْلَمْ أَنْ يَقُولَ لَا أَعْلَمُ. And those who are asked who don't know, let them not be shy from saying, I don't know. This is a major, major, like, important part of knowledge. One of the scholars, Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu an, he used to say, knowledge is of three types. Knowledge is three types. The Book of Allah, the Sunnah, and I don't know. I don't know. When I was a new student, I would go to some of the senior students, I would ask them question after question, they'd be like, I don't know. Like, dang, you've been studying for like 10 years. Ask another, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. Like, what do you know? I know I don't know. But that's knowledge. For real. No, that's knowledge. Awareness of your ignorance is a type of knowledge. And that's something we should strive for. When you are aware, and many times students will graduate from like Qalam, and they'd be like, I don't know nothing. We'd be like, yep, exactly. Congratulations. Like, no, seriously, I don't know. I'm like, exactly. You think you don't know, but you know so much. Your awareness that there's so much knowledge has made your knowledge seem like it's nothing. You feel me? Subhanallah. So la a'lam. And this causes a lot of problems when people fake in front like they know. The most important thing for a student of knowledge or anyone in a position of authority to do is say when they don't know. It's a very dangerous thing in the community when people, subhanAllah, you're put in front of people and you think you got to act like you know, destroy, you mess up people's lives. So it's extremely important for us to have the humbleness to be like, I don't know. And I think even when you deal with non-Muslims who ask you about your religion, yo, some Christians, they'll study up on your religion. Good, co-workers, they know. They're like, what time is iftar? Like, dang, what? They're like, 18 degrees or 15 degrees? You're like, I don't even know what you're talking about. I don't know. It's okay. It's a journey. Knowledge is a journey. But I think we should all be on that journey of seeking knowledge, like, bit by bit, little by little. And this, of course, is seeking knowledge, of course. But we need that constant growth in education so we realize there's so much knowledge out there to learn, and we keep getting closer. The scholar is the one of knowledge is really, really a big problem for Shaytan over the worshiper. So constantly seek knowledge, constantly seek knowledge. So one of the scholars said the ability to say, I don't know, is a sign of someone's actual level of knowledge. I'll tell you. I think we'll stop there. Yeah, the next part is sabr. So we'll go over that tomorrow, next week, inshallah ta'ala. So let's just recap really quick for those who maybe came a little late. We talked about the concept of muhasaba and a four-stage approach to behavioral modification. Musharata, conditions. Muraqaba, then watching yourself. Muhasaba, taking yourself to account. And then mu'aqaba, meaning responding to whether you did what you were supposed to or not. We talked about the qualitative value after the quantitative, and then we talked about preparing yourself for that day you stand before Allah. Tazayyanu, like get yourself ready, beautify yourself for that day that you're gonna be standing in front of. And we went through that exercise where I asked you to really picture yourself on the day of judgment, because until you picture that, until you see that day, it doesn't become a reality. You know, like, seriously, I hate to use the same example all the time, but if someone's getting married, they like picture the day, man. They like really pitch, like, I can't wait, you know, I'm gonna do it like this, like that, right? And it makes it a reality for you. Similarly, like this qiyamah, you gotta picture that, man. You have to make that a reality. And then we went over sabr, the different types of patience, as we're gonna translate it. It's not the best translation. And then we talked about knowledge. Don't be shy to learn what you don't know. Keep asking, keep learning, keep going to the depths of knowledge. Keep asking. If you have doubts about something, you gotta ask, man. And last thing I'm gonna say, if you live in the DFW area, man, yo, say alhamdulillah. I mean, the weather is horrible. It's not the natural look is horrible. It's like, you don't come here for scenery, but for your deen, inshallah. Masjids in the DFW packed, yo. huge masjid. You go for Fajr, you're like, dang. Small masjid where I'm at. We're down at MIC, packed for Fajr. So it's and scholars, man, you have such a turath, just literally at the prayer. You go to VRIC, Yasser, Sheikh Yasser, right there. You're like, yo, Sheikh, assalamu alaikum. You know what I mean? Alhamdulillah. So many, I'm not going to sit here and name all y'all shuyukh. You know what I mean? Sheikhat, Sheikh Adunya, right here, right? Right here with us, alhamdulillah. So, a blessing. Sheikh Abdullah, where's your pops? Inshallah, Sheikh Abdullah, who allowed us to be in this masjid. It's just a great community for that. So what does that mean? Okay, Mikael, so what? We got all... The excuse not to know is kind of not there. Like, you have the means to know if you want to know, right? It's right there. But remember what they say, the darkest place is right under the candle. So you got to be careful. You know what I mean? If there's a candle, right under it is dark. So try to move out a little bit so you can see that light. I'll give us tawfiq. All right, JazakAllah Khair. Any questions about stuff we covered today? Online question? No, first let's, you know, live, yo. What's up? The English translation
of the book, if there was one available.
The English translation, Mubarrad, can you pass that up here? Imam Zaid Shakir did a translation of the book that we're doing right now. This is the translation, a treatise for the seeker of guidance. There's always seeker in our books and titles, mashallah. A treatise for the seeker of guidance by Imam Zaid Shakir. So everything we're doing is actually here, mashallah. Questions? Yes.
So you went over the root word of muraqaba. What was the root word for words like muhasaba or muraqaba?
Yeah, so when we talked about the four things to character development and behavioral modification, I actually gave the root word for muraqaba, which was RQB, right? Raqaba, to watch. So he's asking, what about muhasaba? What is the root of ha or H, seen ba, right? B. It comes from hasaba. Hasaba yuhasibu literally means to take someone to task for something. Like, it's literally used for normally a business partner, though. So your accounting, when you ask your business partner, like, what did you spend this money on? Where'd this money go? Where that is what muhasaba goes back to. Like, if you look at hands, where that is what it actually means is hasaba is to take something to account. Yeah. Also, you could look at it. This is a little deeper, though. Maybe we could look at it from the root word of enough, right? But that we'd have to look at a lexical connection, see what's going on there. But yes. Yeah, he asked me to explain the darkness of the candle analogy. So what happens many times is when you have something right near you, oftentimes you don't realize what you have. Simple as that. So there's just a metaphor that says that if there's a candle lighting the room, then the darkest place in the room is the place right under the candle. Literally right under it, there's darkness. And so what that means is sometimes we can be really close to amazing things, beautiful things, and not realize what they are until we move away a little bit and we're like, wow, I can't believe I had that over there. I mean, sisters, yes. Yes, sister.
What was the second arada?
Oh, the second arada? There were three presentations. One was argumentation, where people will try to argue Allah. The second was excuses, where people will try to present their excuses why they did what they did. The hadith says both of these are in the fire. The third one is the one where the books are given. Allah. No? Oh, okay. Okay, khair, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept, alhamdulillah. I'm really enjoying this class. I hope and pray that it's beneficial for you. Special shout out to those who encouraged it. May Allah give you all the reward. Alhamdulillah, makari, yazin, alhamdulillah, lima. May Allah reward y'all for all the knowledge that we learned. Alhamdulillah, it's been a minute. These are beautiful for our soul, our hearts. Sitting in the company, you know, biologically, like, our bodies synchronize with each other, right? Like, if you're walking with someone, it's hard to alternate steps with them. You know what I mean? And when you live amongst other sisters, your body synchronizes with them, right? And when we sit with believers, right, same thing happens. Our hearts synchronize. So sometimes I've been around a lot of evil people. Not evil in the sense that they try to be evil, but they're just not the good company. And so by coming here and just being in the company, there's a synchronization of our hearts. Seriously. And that's why you leave these gatherings, you feel like, yeah, yo, that felt good, alhamdulillah, yo. The lecture was aye, but it felt good, you know what I mean? The lecture was aye, but the company felt great, you know what I mean? So, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept, man. Jazakumullahu khair, everyone. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiru wa atubu ilayk. Subhanarabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wa salamun ala al-mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Assalamu alaikum.